You know, I was having a conversation a while back with a friend of mine, actually a brother in the Lord, and it's strange when you get together with a brother or sister and you're both supposed to be saved, and somewhere, you know, if you hang around long enough, you're going to hear little tidbits of information that kind of annoy you, kind of say, do they really believe that? I didn't know that. Now you're talking to yourself here, okay? But you know, one of the most annoying discussions I ever encountered, and I'm not looking forward to it happening again, and it happens a lot, is, hey, sure I'm saved. You know, I had no doubt in my mind I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But you know, I got to be careful. I got to be careful because, you know, I can lose my salvation. What? Say that again. You can lose your salvation? Where did you get that? Well, you know, I used to go to this church, you know, not the one I'm going to now. But I used to go to this other church and, you know, really packed, you know, and people in there, you know, they were crying and they were screaming all over the place and jumping up and down, lying on the floor, tripping over their own feet and everything, and saying, Lord, please restore my salvation. Huh? Come on, will you? Oh, well, the theme on my message today is, why you cannot, underline cannot, lose your salvation. Once saved, always saved. Okay, let's say a little prayer and then we'll get into the meat of the message. All right, dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I give you praise and I give you thanks, Lord. Praise because of who you are, Lord. And thanks because of whom I have become, because of who you are. Oh, a soldier in the Lord, a soldier of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price. You know, there's one thing that really, really bothers me a lot, you know. My Savior went to the cross. He was spat upon. He was beaten mercilessly. He was, you know, just given it all from the other side. But yet, he opened his mouth, not complained. No! You know why? He didn't do anything wrong that he should be nailed to a cross. No, but he took my place and your place on that cruel cross. Oh, he bled, he suffered, he died. But you know what? He didn't do it for himself. He did it for me. He did it for you. He did it for everybody in this crooked world. Yes, he did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life, yes. And when I say everlasting, I mean everlasting, which means it cannot be lost if you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Now, I had a lot of people come to me and say, oh, man, come on, let's get real. You know, I repented 1,000 times, and yet, you know, I feel the same as I did before I repented. Now, I believe in Jesus Christ and what he did, yes, but, you know, life ain't any better for me. In fact, if anything, it's gotten worse. Really? Well, I haven't really watched this person too closely, you know, in his walk. So I'm not too sure about why he has such an attitude, but he has it. And in the end, he believes, I don't know where he got this, not from my church, but he believes that he can lose his salvation, and there are times he even said to me, you know why I said that word? Because I'm not saved. In fact, I got a son who told me the same thing. He says, I'm not saved. I don't think I am anyway. I've talked to others who said, well, I used to be saved, but, you know, I don't think I'm saved anymore. I really don't, because I just don't feel saved. Well, what's the feeling have to do with it? Huh? What's the feeling have to do with anything? Once saved, always saved. Okay? Well, anyway, when you're saved, you know what? That means you're chosen. You're chosen of God. You repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the bottom line right there. You know, I was chosen. Can you believe that? I was chosen. And if you're saved, you were chosen too. Oh, yes, you were. We were chosen before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1:4. Before the foundation of the world. Now, why would God choose me before the foundation of the world if I were to be lost again? Huh? Why? I mean, is God, you know, just playing games with us? Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to send my son to the cross, you know. He's going to take a whipping. He's going to do some bleeding. Come on, will you? You know, when Christ went to the cross, the Son of the living God went to the cross and gave his life for me, a lousy sinner like me, and he did that for me. Do you think I'm going to doubt him? Do you think I'm going to call him a liar? You think I'm going to disbelieve that this is only just a pipe dream or something, and I'm going to wake up suddenly someday and find out, hey, I ain't saved. I only think I am. I don't feel like it. Oh, come on, come on. You know, it's God's foreknowledge. That's what works. His foreknowledge. God's word says he knew, that's foreknowledge now, he knew that I would be saved, according to Romans 8:29. And he foreknows if you will be saved. You might say, well, I know I'm not saved, but, you know, I'm now going to be too, because God's not so mean that he would send me to hell if there is a hell. You know what? You better get cracking. Tomorrow's promise to no one. You better get cracking. If God's foreknowledge knew I was going to be saved, well, why not? I would backslide and be lost. Huh? It happens. I'm sure it happens to everyone who gets saved. That during those days, that time, before you are truly convicted, at least, you're going to backslide. But you cannot be lost. Once you are saved, it's eternal. If, here's the big little if you are truly saved. If God foreknew my salvation, then why did he not know my backsliding? Of course, he knows while you're in the flesh, you're going to continue to be weak. And that's why he becomes an advocate, our Father, for us. That if we do feel we're falling into sin, or if we know it really is sin that we're involved in, then we call on God the Father. We ask his forgiveness. He's not going to just throw us aside and say, well, you blew it, buddy. Goodbye, see ya. No, that's not the kind of God I serve, at least. You know, surely the Lord foreknew that I would do what I did before he saved me. I didn't know, but he knew. His foreknowledge of my failure afterwards did not stop him, nohow, it did not stop him from saving me, because he knew, like he knows right now, if I'm going to sin before this day is out. I pray I won't. I'll do my best not to, but I'm still in this old flesh. Oh, yes. You see, there's a thing, a word that a lot of people don't understand or even believe in. It's called predestination. predestination. You see, I was predestinated to be saved. According to Ephesians 1, God foreknew I would be saved. According to Romans 8:29, oh yes, because he foreknew I was predestinated, because I was predestinated, I was called, because I was called, I was justified, and because I was justified, I was glorified, according to Romans 8, verse 30. Now, this is according to the foreknowledge of God, of course. If a Christian can be lost again, then God's foreknowledge ain't much good, is it? For his word says that God's foreknowledge saw the Christian even glorified. Right? Right. Born again. A Christian has to be born again. Born from above. Not back in the womb now. Don't get into that. No, born from above. According to John 3. He has been born of God. That's the second birth. Born of God. First birth, born of your mother, of the flesh. Second one, born of God. Now, if a Christian is born, may he be unborn? Huh? You'd almost think so today in this crazy world. What's going on with all these unborn children, physically unborn, already at the door, are being murdered? Slaughterhouse, that's what it is. The world's become a slaughterhouse. It is impossible to be unborn. Unborn. Therefore, it is not possible to be lost if born from above. You see, once you have your salvation, once you are redeemed, you know it, and you've given your life over to Christ and what he did at the cross, then you are born again. You cannot lose that. Now, you might say, well, I thought I was 10 years ago. I thought I was born again. But, you know, the last couple of years, I don't feel like it anymore. And I'm making mistakes. I'm doing this and doing that. Yeah, okay. You know, you're still in the flesh. And if you don't be careful, and if you don't talk more to God and ask him for strength and power over the sin you're having, you know what's going to happen to you? He's going to take you out. He's going to take you out. You know? You ain't going to be here no more walking around with us sinners. No, you're going to be out of here. You see, you don't mess around with God. No, you don't mess around with God, not at all. A Christian has to be born again. You know, eternal life. A present possession. A present possession. Every Christian is given eternal life by Christ. Christ the Son, right? I give unto them eternal life, he says in John 10. He now has this life, eternal life. 1 John 5. Excuse me. You know, this life is not for 5, 10, or 20 years. Not as long as we hold out, no. But it is for eternity, forever, forever. If you are truly, truly saved, you cannot lose that salvation. You might say, well, I might go out and murder a bunch of people, even kill little babies. I'm going to lose my salvation, right? No, you not. You know why? Two reasons. One, you never had it to begin with. Secondly, God, when he forgives not just the sins of yesterday or today, but tomorrow too. God will deal with you. You will lose rewards. You will get in trouble with the Lord, of course, but you will not lose your salvation. You have a new nature. Every Christian possesses this new nature. God's nature. If a Christian could be lost with such a nature, well, This would bring God down to a human level, wouldn't it? And God's nature would be lost. It ain't no good if you can lose it just because you stumble. We are all going to stumble as long as we're in this flesh. We are. It doesn't matter. Be as delicate and be as sure as you can. By walking on this earth, you are going to be tempted. And you are going to wonder, how can God ever forgive me for this? Get on your knees. Get on your knees at your bedside. Go ahead. Do it. Or sit if you can't get on your knees. But talk to God and tell Him you're sorry. Just tell Him. Repent. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't know what happened to me. I can't help it. You got to give me more strength. Talk to the Father. He wants to hear from you. Jesus is there listening. He wants to hear from you. Don't just let, oh, this feeling I have here is driving me crazy. I don't know how I'll ever get to heaven. Talk to God. You know what? You're drifting too far away. Pray without ceasing. That's my attitude. Pray without ceasing, day in and day out. I'm not saying you set the alarm for 4 or 5 in the morning to wake you up and then you pray, say a prayer. I'm not saying that, and that's not what it means. It means always, as you walk through this crazy world, always be in an attitude of prayer. Always be in an attitude of prayer. You know, we as Christians are members of Christ's body. We are. We're members of His body. Flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. That's what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:30. If a Christian can be lost again, then Christ is lost with him, since He made the Christian part of His own body. Do you see and understand that? That's how definite it is. You cannot be lost again. You think Jesus can be lost? Do you think so? Do you think Jesus can be lost? No. And if He could be lost again, which He can't because He's God, what would that say for us? Come on, will you? Come on. If a Christian can be lost again, then Christ is lost with him, since He made us, the Christian, part of His own body. If He can be lost again, the body will not be complete. And if this is true, the plan and work of Christ is lost and useless. The Word of God speaks of Christ's body being without spot or wrinkle. Without spot or wrinkle. How perfect is that? How perfect is that? And how are we saved? We're saved, of course, by grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should boast. If a man is saved by grace, and grace is unmerited favor, and wholly undeserved, then how can he be lost? Is God a liar? Or let God be true and every man a liar? Uh-huh. If he can be lost through some sin, or by not holding out, as it were, can it be said of him, by grace are you saved? What does that do to grace? It destroys it, doesn't it? It doesn't mean anything anymore. For by grace are we saved. If our reaching heaven depends upon our good works, then our salvation would have no element of grace in it. None whatsoever. The child of God, according to Romans 8:1, will never come into condemnation. Never, never, never. Or a judgment. No judgment. Since his sins were judged at the cross of Calvary, we are assured in John 3 and John 5 that the believer is freed from condemnation. You got that? Freed from condemnation. You are not condemned. Christ bare the punishment of our sins. He did. He took them all upon himself. God cannot pour his judgment upon the believer if Christ bore the penalty for all our sins. No, he can't do that. He won't. Do you understand that? That's so important. Listen carefully. Please listen carefully. Since the Christian has been incorruptible, is born of incorruptible seed, can it corrupt? If it's incorruptible, can it corrupt? I'm waiting to hear. If it's incorruptible, can it be corrupt? No. If you're saved, can you be unsaved? Can you? No. Come on, will you? Come on. It is impossible. How can that which is incorruptible ever corrupt? Oh, hang in there, I'm almost finished. Since the Christian has been born or reborn incorruptible of incorruptible seed, he cannot ever become incorruptible. Christ will finish that which he has begun. He who began the work, must finish it. He cannot fail. Jesus cannot fail. If a Christian can be lost again, then Christ is unable to complete that which he started. Tell me, is anything too hard for God? Is it? God is able to keep that which is his. You can't go and knock on heaven's door and say, "Oh, I know Tom Bondi, he's in there, but he's in there under false pretenses. So are you going to let him go, or are you going to just be one of those kind of gods that nobody wants to believe? You just don't know what you're talking about." Come on. You can't do that. Once God takes you and takes you home, that's where you stay. That's where you stay. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against or until that day. He is able to keep one from falling. You know, sometimes you feel weak and sin is knocking at your brain and you feel, "Oh, this, maybe I can just go ahead with this and then fall on my knees and ask God to forgive me." No, don't. That's mocking God. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm not expected to keep myself, for I am not able to keep myself. He can not only keep me, but also he keeps that which I have committed unto him until the day of redemption is complete. He keeps that which is committed unto him. Are you listening? I'm almost through, so hang in there. We are preserved forever. preserved forever. All his saints are preserved forever. They are preserved in Christ. Read it in Jude, in Psalm 31. Did you know salvation is a gift? You might say, well, nobody ever gave me a gift my whole life. Well, God wants to give you one. And the greatest gift you could ever attain is the gift of salvation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you understand that? Eternal life. Not life for 100 years or 1,000 years. Eternal life. How long is eternal? Eternal, eternal is eternal. It's forever. Right? Do we earn a gift? You don't earn a gift. You know, sometimes you say, oh, come over here and paint my walls and I'll give you a gift. Well, that's not a kind of a really a gift, is it? Because you painted the wall, you earned that. Salvation is not earned. Salvation is given freely to those who will repent and ask. It's that simple. One receives a gift. One receives a gift. He cannot work for it or earn it, or it isn't a gift. One receives Christ. One does not merit salvation. If he does nothing to receive it, is it possible to do anything to lose it? Is it? No, it's not. It's not. He, Jesus Christ, he made peace for me. Surely the peace he made is eternal peace. He forever put away my sins by covering them in his precious atoning blood. It is therefore inconsistent to think that he will bring them up before me again and say, oh, I remember. Hey, Tommy, come here. We got something to talk about. You know, that sin you committed down there when you were on the earth? That you didn't ask me to forgive? Well, let's talk about it. No, that's not Christ. All your sins, from the beginning to the end, they're all under the blood. It is inconsistent that he will bring them up before me again. He bore my sins, past, present, and future. And in 1 Peter 2 we read, if Christ atoned for my sins, past, present, and future, are there any for me to bear? No, there is none for you to bear. Jesus Christ, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the bottom line. Do you understand that? I pray that you will. I want to thank you for listening today. Oh, what a message. This message is hard on the brain, but it's a real joy to the heart. Thank you, Lord God, for giving me these words. For helping me, Lord, to understand what the cross is all about, Lord, and what forgiveness really is. And to know, Lord, that once we are forgiven, once we believe, we are forgiven, and then we are taken to glory. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.